So in the new book, Everyday Illegal, author Joanna Drebbe recounts the stories of children and parents and 81 families to show what happens when an immigration system emphasizes deportation over legalization. Joanna Drebbe is an associate professor of sociology at the University at Albany and the author of the book Divided by Borders. The new book is Everyday Illegal: When Policies Undermine Immigrant Families. And it's a great pleasure to have her be on our program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you here. So what put you, obviously, being a sociology professor, you think of these things, but what brought you to this particular issue and looking at these families and choosing these particular families and looking at the issues surrounding immigration?
Yeah, well, it was actually a little bit of a surprise to myself as well. I didn't start out thinking I'd write about policy. I don't really do research on public policy. My expertise has been on families and family relationships. So my first book was focusing on parents in the U.S. who left their kids in Mexico and how their relationships unfolded. And it seemed to me that the next step was then to look at kids growing up in the United States with their parents and Mexican immigrant families and to see what their experiences were like. And I set up a study to compare the experiences of kids living in Ohio, where there's a very small Mexican immigrant community, not very visible.
Right.
And then in New Jersey, where there's a really concentrated, pretty lively and vibrant community in the city. So I was really looking at child rearing in these two communities. And again and again, in the stories people were telling me, I was hearing about fears about police, kids telling me they were worried about being separated from their parents, things I really didn't expect. And I guess it was at the end, one of the kids I interviewed who said, I started asking kids, if you have a message, what would you tell President Obama? And one of the kids said, you know, I'd say, hey, Mr. Obama, change the laws of immigrants. They're not fair. And that really hit it home for me that I needed to write about this new reality that was affecting the people I was talking to.
One of the things I found really interesting in the book is the geography of it, in the sense that you mentioned Ohio and New Jersey.
Yeah.
And you think that border states would be the ones that would have a lot of people looking over their shoulders. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case. And also, the other thing that struck me is that which I guess makes sense because it's often mirroring the parents, but it's the kids that have that feeling of such fear and anxiety of what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, although you say, yeah, maybe kids mirror their parents, it was very surprising to me because all the parents that I talked to, they would always tell me, you know, we don't really talk to our kids about immigration. They're too young. And remember, the kids I was talking to were 5 to 15, really young. Those are small kids. So they would say, you know, I don't want my kids, you know, it's too complicated, too much for them to understand, too much for them to handle. And then again and again, kids were explaining and saying in the ways that they can, that this was a concern to them.
So where do you think that comes from then?
Well, that's a great question. I think it comes from them being aware. I think actually children are really aware of what's fair and what's not, right?
Yeah.
I have kids. I'm a parent. Kids are always complaining. That's not fair. I think kids are really acutely in tune to power differences in society. And so I think that kids going through, they hear the news. You know, the news is on Univision. They hear what's going on around them. Their parents might not talk to them about it directly, but they're aware of the subtle cues that they hear about what's going on and the general climate. I mean, they're in schools. They hear how people talk.
Right.
So I think kids are really aware of it, and they put two and two together quite capably. Yeah.
How do you think this, and we'll go a little bit more into what this is in a moment, but how do you think what you have found in the numbers and the stories should change the dialogue? What are we missing when we talk about the overall discussion of immigration?
Yeah, I really think that we focus so much on who's deserving and who's not, and that kind of blinds us, you know. Oh, somebody should be allowed and somebody else broke the law or did something. And I think my hope is that by showing these more humane stories, these very micro, you know, this is what happens on an everyday. We can think outside of that box of who's deserving and who's not, and think about how this impacts society. Most of the kids I interviewed are U.S. citizens. They're the next generation. So they're growing up in a place where we are not valuing immigration. At the same time, we're a nation of immigrants, and kids go to third grade and they learn about Ellis Island, and they learn about the Statue of Liberty and welcoming of immigration. So I hope that by showing at this level, we can rethink how we think about immigrants and get out of that debate of really about criminalization and whether or not people are deserving or not.
Did you see, and I'm kind of leading you here, but did you see a chasm between kids that you talk to and their feelings and their parents and the adults that you spoke to? Because it struck me in reading the book that there were so many parallels, and just, I guess, with a different set of priorities.
Yeah. You know, it's a really interesting question. I guess I thought I might see more differences. You know, I had previously interviewed all these parents who'd left their children in Mexico, and I was quite used to hearing parents talk about wanting to return to Mexico, and quite comfortable with this idea that a lot of people who are here actually don't really plan to stay here or want to stay here. They have their feet, you know, they have half their family back home.
Right.
So they're
temporary.
Right. But I was surprised again and again to hear stories of permanence. And I really think that under this system where people feel like there's no other choices, that they're going to get kicked out, that people start to put roots down even more. And there's sociological research that shows some of these patterns as well, because the stakes are too high, right?
Is there, I'm trying to figure out the wording to this question, but does there seem that there's a part of the culture where these communities that are welcoming, mm-hmm. where there is a political will and a political society that is not welcoming to the immigrant?
You mean in different communities?
Yes.
In the U.S.? Well, you know, I thought that I would really find that in Ohio and New Jersey, and that was part of the comparison, right? In New Jersey,
yes.
Is a pretty welcoming state. It's extremely diverse. There are a lot of immigrants from all over the world in New Jersey. And the particular place in New Jersey where I did research, I had lived there for many years and worked in the social services, so I knew it to be more of a welcoming place. And in Ohio, it seemed like it was very different. But what was really surprising to me is that the kids in New Jersey articulated stigma about immigration more than the kids in Ohio. They hid from their friends that they were immigrants. They talked about not wanting anyone to know because it would spread rumors at schools. So even in that welcoming environment, the national focus on restriction seeps down and impacts the way kids talk to each other and understand growing up in the U.S.
But do they understand why they are not more welcome, of what the hang-up is?
I think it's a great question. I think that kids view it...
I mean, I don't understand it, so I don't know how to expect them...
I think the way kids, I mean, no, it was like kids are real concrete, right?
Right.
So they understand it. I mean, how they would say it is, well, you know, I was born somewhere else than my or my parents were born somewhere else. But the quotes from some of the kids, they all understand this to be not fair.
Yeah.
So I think they view this as a source of inequality, actually, in the U.S., in U.S. society, just like race and other things that kids grow up trying to grapple with.
When you mentioned a moment ago that you take it you wanted to take it to a micro level. You wanted to look at, you know, how this affects a family, a kid, a parent. So in doing that, do you see more of a black and white to the answers of immigration, in the sense that there are policies that can make this easier, that perhaps we are complicating this issue too much by the politics, when it can be relegated to an easier framework Or do you look at it and say, no, I guess, you know, it is complicated?
No, I think actually it's a great insight, because I think that's really true. I've worked with immigrant communities for many, many years and always have felt like things are complex, right? The answers are complex.
Right.
But it's true. If you just look at what's happening in a family, I think I've come out with a cleaner sense that it's really unfair, and that if we view immigrants in this criminalistic way, it's wrong. People are here to be a part of this country, and it is kind of more simple through the eyes of children and what happens in their everyday life.
Mm. The some of the facts and the figures that you state and you talk about in the book are really fascinating as far as what makes up the immigrant population and the demographics, mm-hmm. and the percentage of the kids. Which gets into somewhat of a definition of what is an immigrant and mm-hmm. how do you define that. And I think that complicates our national discussion, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that one thing, right, so there's legal migration and there's undocumented migration. There's people who fall out of status and the law is so complex. I think one thing I've learned in talking to people about the work I do is that there is a lot of misunderstanding about some of the policies and the laws that create these situations that make it so difficult for people. I often hear, well, you know, why don't people get in the back of the line? And so there is actually no line for many people. Mm. There's no possibility. If they went back to Mexico, they might be permanently barred from ever entering the United States. And so some of the laws make it, the laws are complex when it comes to immigration. And I think that our misunderstanding of some of those laws really affect how people view the immigration policy and confuse the debate.
The chapter that really got me, the one that I read a couple of times because it's just, I think, is really important. And that is this gets very personal, it gets very anecdotal, but it's about stigma. Mm-hmm. And it's about, and as you cited a moment ago, the differences between what kids experience in Ohio versus what the kids experience in New Jersey. But the bullying, the stigma, the going to school, and what the kids are going through is rather hellish.
Yeah, being a kid's tough.
Right.
In any way, and this adds another layer to it, I would say, yeah.
And it seems that, to me, because you do, this is where you really do put your sociological hat on,
yeah.
very much a sociologist's
yeah.
point of view, but it does bring us to, okay, but why is this not part of the discussion more often of okay, but this is what's happening to these kids, and mm-hmm. and while on one end you can watch the NCAA Final Four and there's all these things about bullying and being mm-hmm. good to each other and blah blah blah. Okay, but if we're going to then treat an immigrant population like this, then what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, the treatment's codified in law. That's the problem, right?
Right.
Is that these are laws that trickle down. And I think we see a law and we read what a law means and we don't get what it means on the everyday. That's my view of it.
And how are the schools handling it, do you think?
Well, I think it really depends on the school and the type of school. The ones in New Jersey were very different. They have such a high percentage of their population that's immigrant and Latino and a mix of different, that a lot of them were really wanting to outreach to the community. They put out bilingual information. There was often still a disconnect, I think, between parents and schools. In Ohio, very different dynamic. They'd only have one or two kids. They just sort of didn't really radar, right. you know, have it on the radar that these could be issues. So I think it really depends on the demographic of the school and where it is.
The book is fascinating. It's entitled Everyday Illegal: When Policies Undermine Immigrant Families. Joanna Drebbe is the author of the book. It is published by the University of California Press. Joanna, thank you very much for sharing your expertise with us and shining a light on the issue. I appreciate it.
Thank you for
having me. Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.